Rashi quotes from this Gemara, Ezu Mora Lo Yesh B'mkoma V'li Dar B'mkoma V'li Yisra Ez Dvar. There's three examples quoted here, there's other examples, but three explicit examples to start with that are active ways in which a person performs, or actually I have to say the passive, a person avoids doing these three things, and with that they fulfill the mitzvah of reverence, ish of the im of tiro. What are these three things? Not to sit in the place of a parent, not to speak in inappropriate context for the parent, and not to contradict the parent. Okay, those are all examples of mora avein. Ezu kavo, what does it mean to honor a parent? Machul mashke malbish umano machus motzi, to feed, to give, to drink, to help a parent get dressed if they're not able to, put on their shoes, take them in, take them out, and service them. So we have concrete examples listed in the Gemara of how a person expresses kavod and what they need to avoid, and by doing so, they accomplish more. L'chor mazu ha-she'ela izumor. Lama lo yimor kipshuta. Liro melofeham. The question is, why does the Gemara need to enumerate? Why does the Gemara need to ask for examples of Mora? If I tell you, oh, you need to be in awe of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, or you need to be in awe, or you need to revere your parents or Rebbe, isn't there a self-understood emotional reaction? Isn't there an attitude that the Torah is obviously asking us to have towards these people that we owe that treatment towards? And why do you need to ask me for specific examples, right? These mitzvahs, kavod and mora, we would imagine, ultimately stem back to a person's feelings. And so why is it necessary to ask, what do I need to do to fulfill that mitzvah? In Yeres Aromos, ki hukash kavod mokod amokom, ki alkein vada yorim ipnehem, lama l'gmar l'tshuva al-shev l'parik b'prate dvorim, l'nech z'ekr shal mitzvah. It's almost as if, and when you think about this is very real, by directing our attention towards specific actions, we may even remove the emphasis from the emotional attitudes. We may even take away how we focus on the way we're supposed to be thinking about our parents, right? But when you turn it into these dry, robotic performances, sometimes that makes it more challenging to make sure that the perspective is there when I encounter these people. So Rabbi Yochanan explains as follows. There's a big klal comes out from this Gemara. So he says we can derive something from here that really can be applied all over and has specific application when you talk about other quote-unquote emotional mitzvahs like Avas Hashem, Yiras Hashem, and everything like that, Amun as well. What it's teaching us with the example of parents is that anytime there's a mitzvah that, again, the approach would seem to be on the emotional level, it is nonetheless necessary to clothe the mitzvah, lahalbish, to attribute to it some sort of active or action-related approach. That's why we call mitzvos asay, or mitzvos los asay. They need to have that component that brings them into a tangible realm. Zel mashas also gemar izu mora vezu kibud. Kolmar mawa maisa shal ilo mitzvos, beiza maisa yigashim es mitzvos amora va kibud, va'al zehu shabav v'tshuva lo yeshim v'komo. What the Gemara is asking is, okay, I understand that there's a concept of Kibud Avim, and I said there's a concept of Mora Avim that the Torah mandates. But give me a little bit more. What else are you mandating should be the physical manifestation of those attitudes? Because without that, I'm not going to actualize what the Torah really wants of me in these circumstances. It may seem like the action is small or less significant than the perspective, but it's going to be an action. Even if it's very small. According to one man, this is how we paskin. When the Gemara says you have to perform Kibbutz Ava'im in these different modalities, the Gemara wants to know who has to pay for it. If the mitzvah of Kibbutz Ava'im means feed your parents, your father's hungry, your father's thirsty, provide him with something to eat or drink. Who has to pay for it? Who has to cover the bill? The answer is the father has to pay for the bill. I don't have a chiyuv. We got for a restaurant for my father's birthday to pay for the restaurant. Of course, you're going to anyway. But if there was actually a situation where my parents' demands would be a financial strain on me in the realm of Kibbutz Ava'im, the halacha is, strictly speaking, I don't need to pay for that. It can come out of the parents' account. So it's a fascinating underlying notion that what does that demonstrate? It shows that it's more about the act of providing the food and the drink rather than where it's coming from. You might think, oh, it's about the self-sacrifice. I need to pay. No, it's make sure that there's a physical manifestation of the honor and esteem that you hold for your parents, even if he's paying for it. But I need to activate that mitzvah. And what's underlying these mitzvahs is the way in which you actualize it with a maaser. And he says, with that, we understand when a certain non-Jew came in front of Hillel, right? And he says, oh, I want you to teach me kol Torah kul al regel achas, right? So if I would ask you, what lesson did Hillel respond to that dare as the defining message that encapsulates the whole Torah in one line, al regel achas, what's the answer? Don't do to someone else what you wouldn't want to be done to yourself. So everybody asks, what's the obvious kasha? What's the obvious kasha? What should have Hillel responded? Oh, it's a pasuk in the Torah. Zechlach alav Torah, right? What Torah says about the kamocha, and Hillel had to turn it around from the positive, love your neighbor like you love yourself, and he had to twist it, don't do to the other guy, what you right? Why not just give him the pasuk, right? If you have one pasuk, Rabbi Yehuda says, "Zek Kol Gadol B'Torah." Give him the Kol Gadol B'Torah. Answers to Baruchim. What does that teach you? If I tell you, "Oh, love your friend. Oh, that's beautiful. Love him." Okay, but that's as long as you leave it with that parameter, it's inside your heart, and there's no guarantee that it's going to be properly manifested until I can detail how that's going to change the way I behave towards that person. That's what we're looking for, to take it from the emotional realm into reality. So Hillel said, oh, you know how you're going to fulfill that mitzvah of Atul HaKamocha? But before you say something that could hurt someone, before you do something that's insensitive or inconsiderate, stop and reflect, how would I feel if someone did that same thing to me? Then I'll be able to fulfill the mitzvah of Atul HaKamocha. But I need to embody it. I need to give it that physical, tangible identity through action. Now, where did Yerucham get this from? He doesn't identify a source. He says that it seems to emerge and be self-evident from the midst of Kibbutz Ava'im, but ultimately it's a Pesach lesson. What do I mean it's a Pesach lesson? So he says, the Sefer Chinuch says the following. There's a mitzvah in the Torah regarding the Korban Pesach, that appears in Shmos Parak Yubayis Pasuk Mem Vav, Shalo Lishbor Etzem Mikol Atzamos HaPesach. The Etzem Losish Rubo. Etzem Losish Rubo. The Pasuk says you may not break any of the bones of a Korban Pesach. But I know I'm supposed to eat the Korban Pesach, I know I'm supposed to roast the Korban Pesach, I'm supposed to be makor the Korban Pesach, but what's this about not breaking any bones in the Korban Pesach? So he says, this is part of the general corpus of Zecher Letzias Mitzrayim, or the Nisan that took place when we left Mitzrayim. But in particular, Ein Kavod Levnei Malachim Yotzei Eretz Legar Hatzamos Leshavram Kiklam. The way that a noble person eats is slowly, dignified, with a knife and a fork, like a mensch, not tearing into my meat, not tearing into my food. With patience, with honor, and as opposed to a poor person, or as we would say in Yiddish, a grove of men, someone without manners, without that nobility, would eat like a dog. just dig in and maybe you'll break a, you know, piece of a bone in the process to get to a piece of meat. You know, when you're trying to, you know, scrape off the meat from the bone from the chicken, right? It's like, you know, go to Disney World and have like that, you know, the Abram and Achai. You know, like that's the way that someone without any sense of royalty and an elevated status likes to eat. Well, Yos Lasos Kaha, Kimania Amar, even a starving, hungry, poor person, that's how they eat. At the very initiation of our status of the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Mamlechas Kohanim, a holy nation, every single year, there's a Rav in Chicago, Rabbi Zev Kohn, my wife's Rabbi, but I had the schus to get to know him over the years. Every year at his Seder, they sing happy birthday. They start Magid, they start with happy birthday to us, happy birthday to us, happy birthday. Call Yisrael, happy birthday to us, something like that. It's a little more dramatic when you sing with the tune. I can't violate the COVID rules. I can't sing happy birthday. But when that becomes part of the flavor of the night of Pesach, so then you feel like this is the birth of a nation, the birth of a nation. So explain this every chinuch, when you take that first step to initiate the status, right, at the inaugural dinner of Klal Yisrael, the Seder, we eat like a mensch. We eat dignified, more dignified than we would the rest of the year. And certainly not to eat in this starving, ravenous, and lowly form where there's no patience and there's breaking the bones. But so it's most appropriate, b'chol shana b'shana b'losos man, every year, we should come back to that same mindset. Royal Anolasas Maisim Hamarim Bono Hamayla Gedola Sha'alinu La B'lososha, to remind us of the great status that we gained at that moment when we left Mitzrayim. When we talk HaMaisa V'adim and Shanach V'losim Nik B'minach Shosin V'adav L'olam. And then he says the punchline, that through our action as well as our imagination, meaning besides the thought process and the mindset, by behaving in a certain way that reflects those mindsets and those perspectives, nikba b'nafsho seinu hadavar l'olam, the lesson becomes ingrained in our consciousness, b'nafsho seinu, in our essence, forever. And he goes on to say, how many mitzvos are there that are zeich letzitz Mitzrayim? So many, right? The entire year, on Pesach for sure, but every Shabbos, zeich letzitz Mitzrayim. Constantly, in Shema, in the morning and the evening, we're always remembering why so many mitzvos are zeich letzitz Mitzrayim. How many times do you need to drill it into our head? The answer is because, famous words of the Sefer Chinuch, it's not enough. It's not enough to have one remembrance and then it's going to be forever etched in our memory. It's not true. A person is drawn after the effects of his actions. Whether it's for good or whether it's for bad, a person's essence will be molded by the actions he performs, or if he's missing those actions, he will not have a full consciousness and internalized awareness of the important ideals that are supposed to define him as a Jew. So yeah, when it comes to the mitzvos of Zeich Letzitz Mitzrayim, it is critical that they're constantly on our mind, because acharei ha'pu'ulos nimshachos ha'lvavos, so Sharon tells us, if a person wants to be a zariz and do things quickly and in a determined fashion, then sometimes you just got to pick yourself up and run to shul. If you run to shul, you will inherently gain a sense of urgency and importance to do the mitzvahs, even if I don't feel right now. But if I force myself to do it nonetheless, it's going to stay with me. It's going to stay with me, because when I actualize the thought process or the ideal, then it becomes a tangible reality that when I work on it long enough is inseparable from my consciousness. Lamaisa, I think going back to Rav Yerucham, there's an important lesson for all of our siddurim. Hopefully everyone's going to be with their family, wherever you happen to be, whether it'll be a larger or smaller family than last year. Certainly, the person's going to be with a parent, with both of their parents. And Kibbutz Avim is something which at every stage in life, whether you're a little kid or whether you're a grown adult, is always going to be the hardest mitzvah that there is to perform in many ways. Gemara says that explicitly. Gemara says one of the Amoraim, on the one hand, was sad that he never had parents, but also said, you know, if I had the parents, I don't even know if I would live up to the expectations the Torah has for me to properly fulfill the mitzvah of Kibbutz Avim. I remember at the when my grandmother passed away, so we went to the airport before her arm was sent off to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, and Rabbi Kelemer, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, just passed away a few weeks ago. So he met us there at the airport, and he was praising, just in a conversation just between me and him, he was praising my mother's kibbutz aim that he was aware of, and how carefully she took care of my grandmother. But he said he suspects when you look at kibbutz aim, it's very unusual that it's really only mitzvah. This is what we emphasize. It's beinam l'chavero, and there's so much emphasis after the person is no longer around. Right? Person says kaddish for a whole year. Person says shiva and shloshim, says kaddish for months and months and months, and never stops referring to a parent. Never stops having the opportunity to do a mitzvah to bring the neshama of the parent higher into mind. And every year the yartzeit comes around again, and we never lose that connection to our parents. And the mitzvah of kibbutz avim is performed even after the person is no longer here. I can't do a chesed, for the most part, you know, in the same way for any other person in the world once they're no longer, in this olam hazeh. A parent, I can. So Rabbi Kelemer says he suspects the reason why there's this unique quality of kibbutz avim that you don't really find elsewhere is because since it's so hard to do kibbutz avim properly during a parent's lifetime, because Baruch Hu gave us a chance to always have that opportunity later on, hopefully when we're more mature and we appreciate everything our parents did for us. As my parents always taught me growing up, you never really appreciate what a parent does for you until you're a parent, which is so true, But especially at the stage of life you guys find yourself right now, it's a crossroad of trying to find independence and trying to be your own person and make decisions. And your parents sometimes will be on board, sometimes they're not going to be on board. They'll be supportive, they won't be supportive. And I need to tell you, there's a lot of friction that sometimes results depending on whether or not parents and children are on the same page, and they're not always on the same page. And a person's esteem that they should hold for their parents suffers. It suffers. What Rabbi Rofim is telling us is you go home for Pesach and you're with your parents for a stretch of time constantly, even if you're not feeling it. You don't wake up at home feeling, oh, Givaldi, another day of kibbutz avim. He says, do it anyway. Activate the Maisa, because as the Sefer Chinuch tells us, it's going to ultimately make a difference in your attitude. When you go out of your way to fulfill the mitzvahs of kibbutz avim, even when you're not feeling it, it's going to leave an impression that will help you grow past whatever shortcomings you may feel you're at right now. And we all need to reflect on this. Rishon Salanter would point out that, you know, there's a mitzvah not to take revenge, and there's also a mitzvah not to hold a grudge. If someone, if I ask my neighbor to borrow something, and he says no, when he comes back to me, I'm not allowed to say, oh, you didn't lend me the lawnmower last time, I'm not lending you my lawnmower this time. That's the Isra of Nakam. But I'm also not allowed to hold a grudge. When he comes and wants to borrow the lawnmower, I can't say to him, oh, well, you didn't lend it to me last time, but you know what? I'm better than you. Here, take my lawnmower. And I will do the chesed for you. That's holding a grudge.
What if you have that emotion?
So ultimately, it's not so easy to wipe away that feeling. So Zakir B'Shal Salanta, that's the strategy. When you have a grudge against someone, go out of your way to do as much chesed for that person as you can. And this is Badak Menusa, this is tried and true advice. When you do chesed for a person you don't want to, it makes you feel different towards that person, right? Just like any action of nesina breeds ahava, it even works for the people who I'm not so inclined to do chesed for. And it can be brought back to a person's parents as well. Seek to do when you're home whatever you can to above and beyond to fulfill the mitzvah kibbutz avim, and it will stick with you and it'll help you generate the right attitude. I'll give you 1 second to show you. Just to close, Sefer HaChinuch ends with a very powerful statement. Number one, he says the famous line, it's like Mar Makos, but you hear it in Shul more often than Gemara Makos, Ratza Hakadosh Baruch Hu Lazakus Israel Lufichak Hirbalahem Torah Mitzvos. Right, Hakadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give us chus, so he gave us a lot of Torah Mitzvos to so we'll always have a chance to do something. So Sefer Chinuch says one thing that means is that he gave us so many actions to perform in order to ingrain within us the right attitudes. That that's part of the Ratz Hakadosh Baruch Hu Lazakus Israel. But then he says as follows, the last paragraph, he says, Al yiftichcha yitzchol omer, don't let your yetzer convince you as follows. Acharei yosli bishalom v'tam v'munas alkim, if I have strong emunah on Hashem, ma hafsid yesh ki yis anag lefam v'tanuga on Hashem l'shebes b'shvakum chovos, what's a big deal if every once in a while I lower my guard and I go out and have a good time in the wrong environment where I'm around the wrong people, with lotzitim aleitim l'darbet zafos, to be in the company of individuals without the appropriate moral standards, speaking in a way which doesn't live up to the level of Ben Torah. Ki yot tebe lo dorm she'in mevim aleim ha'shon z'chatos, hol gam li levav kemoem, ketane avim asnehem, madu yam shechunihem achareim. Come on, I'm not going to get pulled after people who are not up to my level because, you know, I'm strong in my emunah. So don't let your Yitzhar convince you of that. Albani, my son, because he wrote this sefer for his son, his bar mitzvah present. Listen to me. Hishomer b'neim pintilaka birishtam. Be careful, because you can get pulled into the net. Rav m'shosam yitov kas koz tari losam. Ba'ata es nafshcha tatzel. Save yourself. Many people have stumbled in this before, and it's a mistake. Achar dait chazeh al yik sh'alacha mehata ribu ha-mitzvos. That really answers the question we started with. The question we started with was, why do you need so many mitzvos that are zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim? So the answer is, you need so many because everything about Yetzias Mitzrayim is designed to embody so many of the critical lessons of Yiddishkeit that we need to do so many things to make it a part of our essence. L'chein ata, going back a little bit, therefore, choose carefully what your occupation is, what your preoccupations are, what involvements you have, because they will pull you after them rather than you thinking that you will be able to pull them after you. That's a lesson for life. It's a lesson for the take from Pesach, and it's a lesson to try to actualize when we're home. And even if it means being around people who we need to improve in our Beinam L'Chaver towards them, Adarabah, it's a chance to make it happen. Yeah, that's right.